Cyril Aimé, you were raised south of Paris. The pronunciation, because I'm just an amateur student of French, ça moi, Suzanne?
Yes.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what is the distance from Saint-Moi-sur-Seine to New Orleans? Not physically, but in music, in feeling, in the vibe in the town.
The vibe is similar when there's the Django Reinhardt Festival happening in Samoa, which is in the summer, because gypsies come from all across Europe to honor Django and jam around the campfire. And music in the gypsy culture is very deeply rooted in tradition. It's really a part of everyday life, which is kind of how music is here in New Orleans.
Yes, we all have images of New Orleans or their very famous festivals, or if we get down there for a vacation or holiday or weekend, there are buskers on the street playing.
Yes. Well, during the Django Festival in Samoa, yes. But the rest of the year, it's pretty quiet. But in New Orleans, yeah, there's buskers all year.
Is it providing the creative atmosphere for you to create the way you'd like to create and write the music that you want to write?
Well, it's definitely inspiring. You know, there's just a lot to take in. But the way I like to create is kind of in the opposite setting, which is I like a lot of silence and a lot of nature. And so that's why during the pandemic, I designed and built a house in the jungle in Costa Rica. So I live a little bit everywhere.
I was going to ask, because your website talks about your current emphasis on songwriting, and many people use the silence of the pandemic or the separation or the deep thoughts of that isolation as sort of a setting for more songwriting. Have you found the past few years very productive, or others are more inspired by the social contact? How does it work for you?
I think it's a balance of both. I think when you feel you need inspiration, it's good to go out and hear music and play with musicians and just be immersed in a rich cultural setting like New Orleans, for example. But then at some point, you need to be able to process all of that and take the time with it and sit with it and see what you have to say in the middle of all of this, you know, without having all the distractions being constantly there, popping up, and then you don't really remember where you begin and where it ends. And so that's why I like the balance of coming to New Orleans and being, you know, really in the scene and hearing music all the time and going out to dance and everything, and then going to the jungle. And it always takes a few days for the noise to kind of die down and for the silence to set in. And once the silence has set in, then I can hear what wants to come out of me, what's inside of me, and where my story is. And so then, yeah, I write a lot when I'm in the jungle.
Are you writing lyrics? Are you writing music?
Both. Songs. I'm writing songs.
And what are your primary instruments?
The baritone ukulele I use a lot to write music. I also use the guitar and the looper.
You got to loop.
Yes.
Making music in the city, man. You got to loop.
I've been looping for a long time. I've been looping since I was in freshman year of college.
Yeah, right?
You're
kind of like challenging yourself when you're playing against yourself and to lay all the parts
down.
Well,
the point is not to play against yourself, it's to play with yourself. And the reason it's challenging is because you can't make a mistake, because it just, if you make a mistake, it comes back over and over and over and over again. So you got to be really, really, really focused.
Our guest is Cyril Aimé, and she is speaking with us in advance of her visit to the Newman Center for the Performing Arts on the University of Denver campus on May 19th. Before we get to the show and what you're up to these days, I wanted to ask about your master classes. Are those held in groups? Do you gather sort of a retreat? Is it all virtual? I know a handful of people that would love to sit under your tutelage for a little bit and share and learn and see where it goes.
I mean, I've been giving masterclass for a long time. And last year, I was a resident teacher at the Miami Frost University. But it was really during the pandemic that I started teaching one-on-one a lot of lessons, just because there was no more tours. So I just started offering teaching classes on my website, and I really fell in love with that. I love teaching, and actually I think I was about to do a master class in Denver, but I think it got canceled for some reason. But I love doing that, and it's very therapeutic, you know, talking about how to let go of our fears and how to be in the moment, how to be present and accept what comes out of our mouth and fall in love with the music that we make.
I was going to ask you a little bit philosophically from your website. It talks about, as perhaps a singer or a musician, the awareness of being in the moment, the spontaneous life, maybe a little bit of separation from the technology that runs our lives like a tyrant sometimes. We're looking forward to those lessons, however they come from you, you know, whether it's music or class or whatever. I mean, we need those lessons.
Yeah, well, that's definitely one of the reasons why I started going, you know, trying to connect more with nature. I feel that because of all these technologies that you just spoke about and, you know, the social media and everything, we kind of forget the why we're making music, why we're making art, why we're even doing what we're doing. Is our values in the right place? And I feel whenever I'm in nature, first of all, it's very humbling. It humbles me. It just makes me realize how nothing is that important. You know, the nature will always be there no matter what happens to me. There's just so much beauty that exists already, and we don't have to put so much pressure on ourselves because it's already all there. We just have to be a channel and let it exist, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. We're with Surreal M.A., as she is preparing to visit Denver and the Newman Center for the Performing Arts on May 19th here in 2023. We are wondering about your current projects and what you're bringing to Denver in terms of the repertoire and the band. What are you planning?
Well, if you have known me for a while, you know that I'm very bad at planning. I like to be in the moment, so lately, I've been really playing with a lot of different musicians, so it's going to be a whole new combination of musicians, people that are incredible but that have never really played all together. Matisse Picard on the keys, Amina Scott on the bass, and Pedro Segundo on the drums. As usual in my shows, the repertoire varies extremely. You know, I do French songs, I do Latin songs, I do covers, I do standards, I do a lot of original material, and I just like to be in the moment and kind of decide the day of.
That's great. I first saw you at Vail, I think. I saw you in duet with Diego Figueiredo, and it was a mind-blowing. Of course, he's kind of mind-blowing. I think your interaction with musicians, you sort of spark and encourage each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust. That's what I look for in musicians, is do they trust me? Do I trust them? And then if there's trust, then you can really go just about anywhere.
When I was in the audience, I always felt like you were not at a distance on stage. It really felt interactive with the audience. And I love that about your performances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the audience is a huge part of the performance. Without the audience, it's just a rehearsal. Part of being in the moment and being present is letting everything that's around you touch you and be a factor of what's going to happen on stage. So the audience is a big, you take a lot of energy from the audience.
Is there any new recording project that's coming we should anticipate or look forward to?
Yes, definitely. I have a new album. It's probably going to come out early next year. It's all compositions, all original songs that I wrote in the jungle. And I'm very, very excited about it.